everyone. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. Thank you so much for joining today. We're going to continue with the selection of the time. And we're going to get into the meat of something that I think very early on in our practice, we all, it's one of the things that we read or we're told, and we go, okay, let's go on. I have other things to understand. I'll get back to this. And that is this idea that we hear from Nichiren about the Lotus Sutra. Well, first of all, that it's been around since Shakyamuni, since he was preaching it for the last 8 years of his life. And that in the meantime, before Nichiren, basically nobody really promoted the method and teaching of the Lotus Sutra. So what the heck's going on? Why is that? How is that possible? So if you haven't guessed already, that is the core essential purpose of this Gosho, this letter. He's talking about it. And that statement that he's often quoted as saying is that these other teachers like Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, Tendai, were great bodhisattvas who deeply understood the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. And in fact, expounded a great deal on the Lotus Sutra, still did not teach that method of immediate enlightenment in our current form to the people, whether they were common people, laity, lower monks, upper monks, whatever, what have you. But the scholarship was there, so where's the disconnect? What's going on? And I think when I finished the last video, I mentioned that this term comes up, the platform. And it's important to understand what that's about, even though as I've reread some of this, that's not pointed out specifically. But it's important to understand in the teaching of Buddhism, just like anything else, really, there are certain fundamentals, let's say, that the teaching is predicated upon, based on, things that are given as fundamental understanding on which we build now a deeper and deeper, more profound understanding, like science, like math, like grammar, like any language, so on and so forth. Even cooking in the kitchen, recipes, making flour or making bread, is basically, flour, salt, and yeast and water. But you can make some truly amazing breads and with chemistry that varies from those basic four materials to dozens of materials. I mean, sky's the limit, right? But you have to understand how those basic four work together if you have any hope of creating something successful that varies from the basic, right? This is true with everything. Now, here's the thing, though. Two ways to look at a problematic situation. Let's stay with the bread analogy. Say I teach you how to make a very sophisticated artisan sourdough pumpernickel bread with seeds and oats, and if you know anything about pumpernickel, it has some chocolate in it, and if you know anything about sourdough, it has to be an active yeast forming ball that ages, and so there's all this preparatory work, but I'm just going to teach you this recipe and you go. But I haven't taught you the fundamentals. You're really going to struggle, aren't you? Unless you're just imbued with a natural understanding of how these ingredients work together and in what proportion, which is, it may happen. but overwhelmingly, there's going to be a lot of sad faces, right? Now, let's say I teach you the basics, and I teach you how to make sourdough and a starter dough, and I teach you about pumpernickel and rye and the colorations through chocolate and blah, 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 blah. And you learn all of those things. And then when you go to make this ultimate recipe, I still ask of you to work on these basics and understand how dough and salt and yeast work in this ratio with different temperature waters and so forth. And you have to go through all of that and then learn how to turn it into a sourdough mash so that you can then age it. And once you do that, then you can take the next step and you can make a rye loaf, and then you can make a rye with caraway seeds, and then you can make a rye with chocolate. And you know, and there's always this main artisan bread that you know, that you can refer to in order to make your practice of making rye and sourdough. That if that's your platform, your entire ritual of teachings, then that ultimate loaf is never going to happen, because you'll just have students who look at the ultimate loaf as a nice picture on the wall, a goal, but what they practice is making regular old bread, making sourdough balls, and making different kinds of rye. They never even practice putting the rye and the sourdough together, right? Might happen, but that's not what you're teaching. You're just teaching that in order to get to the goal, you got to make a solid sourdough and a solid rye. So just do that, and you'll get there. What's missing from this? And this is very much, it's a loose analogy, so don't crucify me too much. but honestly, it's that simple. The Lotus Sutra has always been there. But to get to really exercise, and this is going to sound silly, but just you don't realize how much capacity you have today. You and me, all of us, in this latter age, this development of humankind, that you have a mandala of Gohonzon that you can focus on, direct your mind and all those monkeys in the monkey mind to quiet down and focus on the one idea of melding and attaining and awakening to and invoking your Buddha. And you can further do it by chanting the Daimoku, the teaching itself. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. And just pulverize it into that mandala so that it comes right back at you and splits your mind so that those monkeys become absolutely quiet. And now your mind is free, free to open the door to Buddha. And you'll feel it when that happens. But in order for that to happen, you really need a good mental understanding of what it is you're trying to achieve. This is where samsara gets in the way. It always is. It's our mental attachments and delusions distractions. Because we're constantly trying to quantify and label and distinctify and put things into boxes. And it's hard to silence that one. That's why we have these tools. But until Nichiren, we didn't have this tool. We didn't even have the Daimoku. This is the method, the teaching of the Lotus Sutra. It has never been taught before. Myoho Renge Kyo has been around. Tendai taught it, as you'll see. But in the form of the ultimate practice, without all of the other stuff, where the platform becomes this immediate enlightenment, this invocation in our life already inherent to simply express and awaken it, isn't part of the platform anywhere until Nitrin. So why is that? That's the big question of this Go Show. Why is that? Okay, maybe you're right, but why is that? It's not like people were ignorant of it before. People actually chanted Myoho Renge Kyo before. But they chanted it as some sacred goal, not as an actualization in that moment. They missed the point. Right? They looked at the finger pointing at the moon instead of the moon itself. Because it wasn't the right time. Because the people of that time didn't have the capacity to fully understand, believe, conviction, resolve. They weren't capable yet. Some might be. But as you see casually referred to in these writings, the sum is the percentage that might get it is not the goal of Shakyamuni from the get-go. The goal is so everyone, no matter what life condition they come from, boom, they can do this. That's extremely powerful. And even today, a lot of people will hear that and go, sounds like magic to me. That's because you don't understand. That's because you don't understand how your mind works, how your mind and body are connected, and how your mind and body and your environment, everything from the dolphins to the mountains to your neighbor, are all yours. And they're all mine. What I mean by yours, mine, that's our human mind of attachment. But truly, the world that I see is not the world that you see. This is a fundamental thing. And it's very confusing unless you start to dig into how the mind works. And once you go through, like, read The Perfection of Wisdom, it will convince you that the way we all see things is unique to our own experience. They may be very, 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 very similar. They're still distinct. And this is why the way that I awaken my Buddhahood and the way you awaken your Buddhahood is different. The Buddhahood, the Buddha experience, same. But the path, this is the key word in Buddhism, right? The path we take to it is unique. So add that on top of the development of the people, the capacity of the people, the time, and you have an equation that says, this is a powerful teaching, but not everyone throughout time was capable of reaching their path to it the same way. Follow? So without further blah, 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 let's get into it. The question is, Nichiren writes, you say that during the 1,000 years of the former day of the law, scholars knew in their hearts that the truth of the Lotus Sutra far surpassed the teachings of the other exoteric and esoteric sutras, but that they did not proclaim this fact to others, merely teaching the doctrines of the provisional Mahayana. This may be the case, though I find it difficult to agree. So here we are in the midst of it. Around the middle of the thousand, this is still the question, by the way. Around the middle of the 1,000 years of the middle day of the law, the great teacher Tendai Chiche appeared. In the 10 volumes or 1,000 leaves of his profound meaning, he discussed in detail the meaning of the 5 characters composing the title of the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo. All right, so Nichiren didn't invent this. This is hundreds of years. This is in, 6th century, and Nichiren's in the 13th So this has long been known. In the 10 volumes of his Words and Phrases, he discussed each word and phrase of the sutra. From the opening words, "This is what I heard," through the very last words, "They bowed in obeisance and departed." He interpreted them in the light of the four guidelines, namely causes and conditions, correlated teachings, the theoretical and essential teachings, and the observation of the mind, once more devoting 1,000 leaves to the discussion. So, this is one of the reasons Tendai is such an important teacher to Nichiren. In the 20 volumes composing these two works, Profound Meaning in Words and Phrases, he likened the teachings of all the other sutras to streams and rivers, and the Lotus Sutra to the great ocean. He demonstrated that the waters that make up the Buddhist teachings of all the worlds of the 10 directions flow without the loss of a single drop into that great ocean of the Lotus Sutra. In addition, he examined all the doctrines of the great scholars of India, not overlooking a single point, as well as the doctrines of the 10 teachers of the North and Southern China, refuting those that deserved to be refuted and adopting those that were worthy of acceptance. In addition to the works just mentioned, he also expounded the great concentration and insight in 10 volumes in which he summed up the Buddha's lifetime teachings on meditation in the concept of a single moment of life, and encompassed all the living beings and their environments of the 10 worlds in the concept of 3,000 realms. So we know this incredibly important teaching came from Tendai, the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment, right? The pronouncements found in these works of Tendai surpassed those of all the scholars who lived in India during the 1,000 years of the former day of the law, and are superior to the commentaries of the teachers who lived in China during the 500 years preceding Tendai. Therefore, the great teacher Chai Tsang of the Three Treatises school wrote a letter urging 100 or more of the leaders and elders of the schools of the North and Southern China to attend the great teacher Tendai's lectures on the sutras. Quote, "What happens only in once in 1,000 years, what takes place only once in 500 years, has happened today," end quote. He wrote, Nanhui, with his superior sageness, Tendai, with his clear wisdom, long ago they received and upheld the Lotus Sutra with body, mouth, and mind, and now they have appeared again as these two honored teachers. Not only have they caused the sweet dew of Amrita to fall in the land of China, but indeed they have made the drums of the law thunder even as far away as India. They possess the wonderful enlightenment that comes with inborn understanding, and their expositions of the sacred texts truly are unparalleled since the time of Wei and Qin dynasties. Therefore, I wish to go with 100 or more monks of the meditative practice and beg to receive the lectures of the great teacher Chiche Tendai. So this, you know, this is still part of the question. He's saying, look, all of this documentation exists of these great pronouncements of the great teacher Tendai and his insights into all of the teachings, let alone Myoho Renge Kyo, right? The discipline master Tao Xuan of Mount Chungnan praised the great teacher Tendai by saying, quote, "His thorough understanding of the Lotus Sutra is like the noonday sun shining down into the darkest valley. His exposition of the Mahayana teachings is like a powerful wind roaring at will through the great sky. Though the teachers of words and phrases might gather by the thousands and attempt to inquire into his wondrous arguments, they could never understand them all. His teachings are as clear as a finger pointing at the moon, and their essence returns to the ultimate truth." There's a little bit of a reference from what I said earlier. They're all respecting the finger pointing at the moon. Look, this is enlightenment. But they're not quite there, are they? Frustratingly so. End quote. You understand, that was my exposition. Okay, continuing. The great teacher Fatsang of the Flower Garland Schools praised Tendai in these words, quote, men like Nanhue and Tendai Chiche can understand the truth through intuition, and in practice, they've already ascended to the first stage of security. They recall the teachings of the law as they heard them on Eagle Peak. Well, if you hear Eagle Peak, you know we're talking about the lotus, right? Myoho Rengekyo. And present them that way today. So they're presenting the teaching of Myoho Rengekyo. But they missed the method. They're still relying on meditation to get them there. They don't know how to activate, invoke it. Invoke Myoho Rengekyo. They still see it as an aspirational goal by doing these other things. Nichiren's going to point this out, you see. There is an account of how the Tripitaka Master Pukung of the True Word School and his disciple Han Kuang, remember Pukung, he wrote a lot of distorted stuff so he could gain power. Eventually, he and his disciple Han Kuang both abandoned the True Word School that he worked so hard to establish, and became followers of the great teacher Tendai. Wow, talk about a turnaround, right? The biographies of eminent monks states, quote, when I, Han Kuang, was traveling in India together with the Tripitaka master Pukung, a monk said to him in India, in the land of China, there are the teachings of Tendai which are most suitable in helping distinguish correct from incorrect doctrines and illuminating what is partial and what is perfect. Would it not be well to translate these writings and bring them here to this country? End quote. Oof. Do you get what just happened? Well, you will in a moment. This story was related by Han Kuang to the great teacher Miao Lo. When he heard the story, Miao Lo exclaimed, does this not mean that Buddhism has been lost in India, the country of its origin, and must now be sought in the surrounding regions? But even in China, there were a few people who recognized the greatness of Tendai's teachings. They are people like the people of Lu. And that reference is to Confucianism in China. And Miao Lo is Chinese, so he's talking historically about his own country, and he's saying, you know, there were a lot of people when Confucius was around that they didn't have the capacity, they didn't understand what Confucius was talking about. They all acted like they did. They knew and they participated, but they had no idea. So he's comparing the people of India who had these teachings all along, but failed to recognize them. It wasn't until hundreds and hundreds of years later, when Tendai comes along and clears things up and pronounces these teachings in their correct order and correct so on and so forth, that now he's heard of all the way across the Himalayas into India, and the Indian people are like, well, we'd like to hear what he has to say. Sounds like he's got some good info. Duh, where have you been? Right? Yeah, India lost Buddhism. It's well documented and it's kind of tragic, but this is the history of Buddhism, right? And this question goes on. You notice how Nichiren uses the question-answer format. It's just a device around which he can teach more. Now, if there had been any major treatises in India that could compare to these three works in 30 volumes by Tendai, then why would the Indian monk have asked that Tendai's commentaries be brought from China? In view of all this, how can you deny that during the middle day of the law, the true meaning of the Lotus Sutra was made clear, and that the widespread proclamation and propagation of its teachings was accomplished throughout the southern continent of Jambudvipa? Oh, interesting take, right? So obviously the Lotus Sutra became preeminent, Tendai made sure of it, and it even traveled back to the land from which it originally came and was lost. So how can you say that, you know, this is This is new now, what you're doing. So here's the answer. The great teacher Tendai preached and spread throughout China a perfect meditation and a perfect wisdom, surpassing the lifetime teachings of the Buddha that had never been preached previously by any of the scholars in the 1400 or more years since the Buddha's passing. That is, in the 1,000 years of the former day of the law and the first 400 years of the middle day of the law. His fame even reached as far as India. This would seem to resemble the widespread proclamation and propagation of the Lotus Sutra. Indeed. But at this time, an ordination platform of the perfect and immediate enlightenment had not yet been established. Boom. This is what I've been telling you. The proper method had not been recognized, institutionalized, and propagated. Hadn't happened. What would be an analogy? Can't think of one right now. I'll let you know if I do. Curdled milk. Maybe you can figure that one out. Instead, Tendai's disciples followed the Hinayana precepts. All those privations and asceticism and all, has nothing to do with awakening to your Buddhahood. So why are you weighing your life down with these early teachings? They're no longer valid. You see, this is part of the platform. They hadn't let go of it yet. Attachment. Which were grafted onto the perfect wisdom and perfect meditation, a rather ineffectual combination. So on the one hand, you want to understand your enlightened state, but on the other hand, you're starving yourself, you're staying in the dark, you're not associating with people. How can you be a bodhisattva if you're locked up in a monastery? Think about that. The ultimate practice of the Lotus Sutra is to be a bodhisattva, assisting everyone you can around you in locating, figuring out, and following their path to their enlightenment, to their Buddha. How do you do that, cloistered in a locked building? How do you do that? Answer, you don't. So you can't do both. Right? I'm a bodhisattva on the weekends. I do it in my spare time. No, it's a life dedication. How else could it be? How could you have that kind of resolve without living it? That's the practice of Buddhism. That's the practice of Myoho Renge Kyo. It was like the sun in eclipse or the moon when it's less than full. Whatever you may say, the time of the great teacher Tendai corresponds to the period described in the Great Collection Sutra as the age of reading, reciting, and listening. Study. The time had not yet come for broadly proclaiming and propagating the Lotus Sutra as platform, as teaching, as this is the method. This was lacking. Question. The great teacher Dengyo was born in Japan in the time of Emperor Kamu. He refuted the mistaken beliefs that had held sway in Japan for the more than 200 years since the time of Emperor Kimei, and declared his support for the perfect wisdom and perfect meditation taught by the great teacher Tendai. In addition, he repudiated as invalid the ordination platforms that had been established at three places in Japan to confer the Hinayana precepts brought over by the Reverend Ganjin and instead set up a Mahayana specific ordination platform of the perfect and immediate enlightenment on Mount Hiei. Finally, it happens with Dengyo. This was the most momentous event that had ever taken place in India, China, Japan, or anywhere else in Jambudvipa during the 1800 years following the Buddha's passing. I do not know whether the great teacher Dengyo's inner enlightenment was inferior or equal to that of Nagarjuna or Tendai, but I am convinced that in calling upon all Buddhist believers to adhere to a single doctrine, he showed himself to be superior to Nagarjuna and Vasubandhu, and to surpass even Nanhue and Tendai. In general, we may say that during the 1800 years following the passing of the Buddha, these two men, Tendai and Dengyo, were the true votaries of the Lotus Sutra. Thus, Dengyo writes in his work, The Outstanding Principles of the Lotus Sutra, quote, "The sutra says, if you were to seize Mount Sumeru and fling it far off into the measureless Buddha lands, that too would not be difficult. But after the Buddha has entered extinction in the time of evil, you can preach this sutra. That will be difficult indeed." In commenting on this passage, I have this to say. Shakyamuni taught that the shallow is easy to embrace, but the profound is difficult. To discard the shallow and seek the profound is the way of a person of courage. The great teacher Tendai trusted and obeyed Shakyamuni and worked to uphold the Lotus Sutra, the Lotus School, spreading its teachings throughout China. We of Mount Hiei inherited the doctrine from Tendai and worked to uphold the Lotus School and to disseminate its teachings throughout Japan. The meaning of this passage is as follows. From the time of the Buddha's advent in the wise Kalpa in the ninth period of decrease, when the human lifespan measured 100 years, through the 50 years of his preaching life, as well as during the 1800 or more years after his passing, there might actually have been a small person, only 5 feet in height, who could nevertheless lift a gold mountain 168,000 yohanas, or 6,620,000 ri in height, and hurl it over the iron encircling mountains faster than a sparrow flies, just as he might take 1 or 2 inch stone and toss it a distance of 1 or 2 cho. But even if there should have been such a person, it would be rarer still for someone to appear in the latter day of the law who could expound the Lotus Sutra as the Buddha did. Yet the great teacher Tendai and the great teacher Dengyo were just such persons, able to teach in a manner similar to the Buddha. In India, the scholars never went as far as to propagate the Lotus Sutra. In China, the teachers before Tendai either passed over it or fell short of it. As for the latter, men such as Tsuen, Fatsang, or Shan Wu Wei, they were the kind who say that East is West or declare that heaven is earth. And these are not opinions that the great teacher Dengyo put forward merely to enhance his own worth. Ouch. On the 19th day of the first month in the 20th year of Enraku era, 802, Emperor Kamu paid a visit to the temple at Mount Takao. He summoned more than 10 eminent monks from the 6 schools and 7 major temples of Nara, including Zengi, Shoyu, Hoki, Chonin, Kengyoku, Ampuku, Gonso, Shuen, Jiko, Genyo, Saiko, Dosho, Kosho, and Kambin, quite a mouthful, to come to the temple to debate the Dharma teacher Saicho. But they became tongue-tied after their first words and could not speak a second or third time. Instead, all bowed their heads as one and pressed their palms together in a gesture of awe. The 3 treatises teachings concerning the 2 storehouses of teachings, the teachings of the 3 periods and the thrice turned wheel of law, the Dharma characteristics doctrine concerning the teachings of the three periods and the five natures, and the flower garland doctrines of the four teachings, the five teachings, the root teaching and the branch teachings, the six forms and the ten mysteries, all their frameworks were utterly refuted. It was as though the beams and rafters of a great edifice had broken and collapsed. The proud banners of the ten and more eminent monks had also been toppled. At that time, the emperor was greatly amazed at the proceedings, and on the 29th day of the same month, he dispatched Wakeno Hiroyo and Otomono Kunimichi as imperial envoys to question the men of the seven temples and six schools at greater length. All of them, in turn, submitted a memorial acknowledging that they had been defeated in the debate and won over by Dengyo's arguments. Quote, when we privately examined profound meaning and other commentaries by Tendai, we found the very sum that they sum up all the teachings expounded by Shakyamuni Buddha in his lifetime. The full purport of the Buddha's doctrines is made clear, without a single point being left unexplained. The Tendai school surpasses all other schools and is unique in pointing out the single way for all to follow. The doctrines that it expounds present the most profound, wonderful, and difficult to understand truth, and are something that we, students of the seven major temples and six schools, have never before heard of and never before seen. Now, at last, the dispute that has continued so long between the three treatises and Dharma characteristic schools has been resolved as dramatically as though ice had melted. The truth has been made abundantly clear, as though clouds and mist had parted to reveal the light of the sun, moon, and stars. In the 200 or more years since Prince Shotoku spread the Buddhist teachings in this country, a great many sutras and treatises have been lectured upon, and their principles have been widely argued, but until now, many doubts still remain to be settled. Moreover, the lofty and perfect doctrines of the Lotus Sutra had not been properly explained and made known. Is that because they weren't properly explained and made known, or is it because the people weren't able to understand them until then? Keep that in mind. Was it that the people who lived during this period were not yet qualified to taste its perfect flavor? I keep jumping ahead of the Gosho. Yes, I'm in sync. Quote, in our humble view, the ruler of our sacred dynasty has received the charge given long ago by the Thus Come One Shakyamuni and has undergone profound instruction in the pure and perfect teaching of the Lotus Sutra, so that the doctrines of the unique and wonderful truth that it expounds have for the first time been explained and made clear. Thus we, the scholars of the six schools, have for the first time understood the ultimate truth. From now on, all the beings of this world who are endowed with life will be able to embark on the ship of the wonderful and perfect truth and quickly reach the opposite shore. That's, you hear this analogy all the time, right? But, you know, pay that analogy of crossing the sea of suffering to get to the other shore. Buddhism, I will reiterate, is a philosophy, a method of living this life to the fullest. You see, this is a really distinguishing point of Buddhism. And this is why I maintain that it's not strictly a religion, because it's not about an afterlife. It's not about something other than what we experience in this samsaric reality. Buddhahood is here and now. It is contemporaneous. It is a method of living this life with the least amount of impediment, at least, as possible. Because it's about liberation. Liberation from what? Liberation from our own mental constructs that tie us to attachments, identification, ownership. At its root, it's about having, it's craving. It's always, it's the monkeys, the monkey mind. Just want to get their fingers in it, right? And then see what it is, what it does. It's like a little baby sticking everything in its mouth. Something got to go in my stomach. Something's going to work. Oh, this tastes funny. So that's what that is, that funny taste. Let's move on. So you hear these analogies with taste and flavors in Buddhism all the time. It's very, very primal. Moving on. Zengi and others of our group have met with great good fortune because of karmic bonds and have been privileged to hear these extraordinary words. Were it not for some profound karmic tie, how could we have been born in this sacred age? In China in past times, Qicheng assembled some 100 other monks and together with them acknowledged the great teacher Tendai to be a true sage. And later in Japan, the more than 200 monks of the seven temples of Nara proclaimed the great teacher Dengyo to be worthy of the title of sage. Thus, during the 2,000 more years after the passing of the Buddha, these two sages appeared in the two countries of China and Japan, respectively. In addition, the great teacher Dengyo established on Mount Hiei an ordination platform for conferring the great precepts of perfect and immediate enlightenment, precepts that even the great teacher Tendai had never propagated. How, then, can you deny that in the latter part of the middle day of the law, the wide proclamation and propagation of the Lotus Sutra was achieved? Here comes Nichiren. This has been Nichiren all along, but... Answer. As I've explained in my earlier discussion, a great truth that has not spread widely, that was not spread widely by Mahakashyapa or Ananda, was in time propagated by Ashvaghosha, Nagarjuna, Aryadeva, and Vasubandhu. As I've also explained in my discussion, there was a great truth that was not fully made known by Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, and the others, but was propagated by the great teacher Tendai. And as I have further explained, it remained for the great teacher Dengyo to establish an ordination platform of the great precepts of perfect and immediate enlightenment that were not spread widely by the great teacher Tendai Chiche. And, unbelievable as it may seem, there clearly appears in the text of the Lotus Sutra a correct law that is supremely profound and secret, one that, though expounded in full by the Buddha, in the time since his passing, has never yet been propagated by Mahakashyapa, Ananda, Ashvaghosha, Nagarjuna, Asanga, Vasubandhu, nor even by Tendai or Dengyo. The most difficult and perplexing question is whether or not this profound law can be broadly proclaimed and propagated throughout the entire land of Jambudvipa now at the beginning of the latter day of the law, the fifth of the 500-year periods following the Buddha's passing. Question. What is this secret law? First, tell me its name, and then I want to hear its meaning. If what you say is true, then perhaps Shakyamuni Buddha will appear in the world once more, or Bodhisattva superior practices will once again emerge from the earth. Speak quickly, for pity's sake. They say that the Tripitaka master Xuanzang, after dying and being reborn 6 times, was finally able to reach India, where he spent 19 years. But he claimed that the one vehicle doctrine of the Lotus Sutra was a mere expedient teaching, and that the Agama Sutras of the Hinayana Buddhism presented the true doctrine. And the Tripitaka master Pukung, when he paid a return visit to India, his homeland, announced that the Buddha of the lifespan chapter of the Lotus Sutra was Amida. What? This is like saying that east is west or calling the sun the moon. They drove their bodies in vain and exerted their minds to no avail. But fortunately, because we were born in the latter day of the law without taking a single step, we can complete the Bodhisattva practice that requires 3 asamkhaya kalpas, and without feeding our heads to a tigress, we can obtain the unseen crown of the Buddha's head. Answer. It's an odd question, but answer. This law is revealed in the text of the Lotus Sutra. So, it is an easy matter for me to explain it to you. But first, before clarifying this law, there are 3 important concerns that I must mention. It is said that no matter how vast the ocean, it will not hold within it the body of a dead person. And no matter how thick the crust of the earth, it will not support one who is undutiful to one's parents. According to the Buddhist teachings, however, even those who commit the 5 cardinal sins may be saved, and even those who are unfilial may gain salvation. These Western terms. Anyway, I think you understand, just talking about awakening to your Buddha-ness. It is only the Ichantikas, or persons of incorrigible disbelief, those who slander the law, and those who pretend to be foremost in observing the precepts, who cannot be forgiven. The 3 sources of difficulty mentioned above are the Nembutsu school, the Zen school, and the True Word school. The first, the Nembutsu school, has spread throughout Japan, and the Nembutsu is on the lips of the 4 categories of Buddhists. The second, the Zen school, has produced arrogant monks who talk of their 3 robes and 1 begging bowl, and who fill the area within the 4 seas, regarding themselves as the enlightened leaders of the whole world. The third, the True Word school, is in a class by itself. It receives support from Mount Hiei, Toji, the 7 temples of Nara, and Onjoji, as well as from the high monkly officials, including the chief monk of Mount Hiei, the prelate of Omuru, the chief official of Onjoji, and the supervisors of the various temples and shrines. Since the sacred mirror kept in the lady's official's quarters of the imperial palace was destroyed by fire, the precious mudra of the thus come one Mahavarachana has been regarded as a mirror of the Buddha to take its place. And since the precious sword was lost in the Western Sea, the 5 honored ones of the True Word school have been looked upon as capable of cutting down the enemies of the Japanese nation. So somehow, Dengyo's teachings of the Lotus Sutra, they departed with him, because all of these other schools came right back up. So firmly entrenched are these beliefs in our Japanese culture that though the stone that marks the duration of a kalpa might be worn completely away, it would seem that they would never be overthrown, and though the great earth itself might turn upside down, people would never question them. When the great teacher Tendai defeated in debate the leaders of other schools of North and South China, the True Word school's teachings had not even been introduced to that country. And when the great teacher Dengyo won victory over the 6 schools of Japan, the True Word doctrines escaped refutation. They just didn't participate. On several occasions, they have managed to evade their powerful opponents. Clever little guys. And on the contrary, have succeeded in overshadowing and imperiling the great teaching of the Lotus Sutra. In addition, the great teacher Chikaku, who was a disciple of the great teacher Dengyo, went so far as to adopt the doctrines of the True Word school, obscured the Tendai doctrines of Mount Hiei, and turned the entire school into a sphere of the True Word school. But who could effectively oppose such a person of authority as Chikaku? Thus, helped on by prejudiced views, the false doctrines of the great teacher Kobo continued to escape condemnation. It is true that Reverend Annan did voice a certain opposition to Kobo, but all he did was to demote the Flower Garland Sutra from second place and substitute that with the Lotus Sutra for it. He still ranked the Lotus Sutra as inferior to the Mahavarachana Sutra. He was nothing more than an arranger of worldly compromises. So we're going to be getting another question here. So we're going to get to an answer. But I think it's fascinating on a way to the answer that we learn so much about, you know, the human nature we experience today. It was the same back then. It's all about power, politics, who gains favor, and for what reasons. And generally, if you're having a discussion about that, you're going to come to terms with the natural greed of human nature. As long as I can get what I want right now, that's much more appealing than applying myself to a goal that's more difficult to understand. Oh, if I join your group, I get a this or that. Oh, cool, count me in. Immediate gratification. Yet, this stands in the face of Myoho Renge Kyo, because when you chant to Gohonzon, you are getting immediate gratification. Understanding that, though, that's the crux of the matter here. This is exactly what's being talked about. And aren't you and I fortunate that we live in a time when we have the capacity to do this, so we have no excuse, in other words. So if you haven't met your Buddha nature yet, that's on you. You have the capacity. You know how to do it. So do it. Right? How can I make a meme out of that? I don't want to say fake it till you make it, because it's not faking. But something like that. Do it till you make it. Repeat it till you live it. I don't know. If you have an idea for a good catchy meme for our invocation equaling our achievement, I'd like to hear it. Might be a fun little thing. Help us keep these teachings in mind. And for now, I've gone on long enough. Again, I appreciate your involvement, sometimes your patience, sometimes you're just your curiosity, whatever keeps you motivated in these videos, in the Go Show, in your study. Use it as food for your practice, as inspiration for your practice, as a push to your mandala and your invocation of your Buddha mind. Truly, truly appreciate you more than I can explain. And for me and for the Sangha, thank you for all of your support. Whether it's financial or just as a subscriber, I guess is the word in our YouTube age. And also a reminder, all of these videos are transcribed into oral talks, available as a podcast, The Buddhahood Podcast, all three words, available all over the place. Take care of yourself. Be careful of your health. Be kind to others. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Be kind to yourself too.